A recent paper released by the Harry Perkins Institute of Medical Research has shown promising results for the treatment of breast cancer. Bee venom, the Institute's research shows, is a surprising ingredient which kills breast cancer cells with surprising efficiency. The venom has even been shown the ability to kill triple-negative breast cancer cells, which currently have no clinically effective targeted treatments. To find out more about this treatment, Ryan Stanton asked Professor Pilar Blancafort, group leader of the Cancer Epigenetics Laboratory at the Harry Perkins Institute of Medical Research, just how this was done.
So I had a PhD student named Chiara Duffy that did all these experiments. And the idea of the project was to investigate the potential of bee venom, so honeybee venom, to kill breast cancer cells. And in particular, we're interested in whether the venom could be used to kill more specifically the types of breast cancer that are known to be the more recalcitrant, so more difficult to treat with current methods such as chemotherapy, radiation, etc. So we had the triple negative breast cancer, which currently is the most, one of the most aggressive subtypes, together with what we call the HER2-enriched subtype. And what Chiara have found, it was indeed that in the order of minutes, the venom was able to destroy literally the cancer cells and with little or no effect in normal cells at all.
So why is bee venom so effective for this treatment?
As you know, the venom is a natural product, so it's a mix of a number of molecules, but about half of the amount of, half of the dry weight of the bee venom is composed of a small molecule that's called melatonin. And so what we found is that when we mix the melatonin with chemotherapy, so we have a mixed treatment or what we call combination treatment, and those agents are injected in the tumor, the melatonin was helping chemotherapy at with very, very low doses. This chemotherapy will be what we call synergistic, so we'll work together with melatonin, causing effects that require a lot less dose of this chemotherapy because it's highly toxic to patients.
I think I speak for a lot of people when I ask, when may this be adopted in the treatment of breast cancer?
Yeah, so it's a good question, and this is obviously the first step, but the good news is that we can synthesize that molecule, and it's so small that is easy for us to get it synthesized in high amounts and start the preclinical trials. Should be that's where we are right now, to determine toxicity, doses. So we have to go to what we call preclinical studies before we go to clinical studies. So that's just the natural safety road for this kind of agent. So we are still on the preclinical.
So is this less a matter of months and more so of years?
Yeah, there is still some years before we can implement this. However, I think that, you know, what's important for these subtypes is they don't have any treatment available. So this kind of research is very important because there is nothing else aside from chemotherapy and radiation. And again, those treatments are extremely toxic. And I think this opened the door really to look at natural products as a source of potential anti-cancer agents. And it's the same way, right, that you think about engineers, right? We fly in planes these days, but what was inspiring to us was that animals are able to fly. So it's not different in cancer biology in the sense that we use a natural product that is an incredible source of engineering. But, you know, there is that engineering part that we have to do to make sure.
Are other venoms capable of creating similar treatments?
It is perfectly possible to use other bee venoms, and in fact, it might be that some bees have evolved to potentially have even a higher, more potent venom, just because the melatonin and in general, the composition of the venom changes, right? And it's possible. We only have looked at honeybee venom, right? So it could very well be that other species could have evolved a different type of venom that it could be even more potent.
Some people may be worried that using bees in this manner could speed up colony collapse and decrease their population worldwide, but you mentioned synthesizing the key molecules needed for this treatment. Am I right in assuming that we won't need to hurt the bees to get this treatment in the future?
That's right, absolutely. That's the idea, right? And again, going back to the analogy that I mentioned, I mean, that, you know, the natural products for me, it's huge inspiration to actually go and engineer molecules. And obviously we inspire by the diversity and the way Mother Nature has developed the strategies, right? They're already existing there. And I found that very interesting in oncology. And a lot of people look back as a researcher, we look back and in nature, right, as this incredible source of natural products that can be inspiring, incredibly inspiring to actually look at how we can engineer. We can go back to our labs and learn from Mother Nature.
Professor Pilar Blankefort, Group Leader of the Cancer Epigenetics Laboratory at the Harry Perkins Institute of Medical Research, ending that report by Ryan Stanton.